ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, November 8th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hey, Melody, you sound chipper today.
I am. It's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is.
Here on the eastern shore of, I was going to say the eastern shore of Pennsylvania, but the eastern shore of Maryland. But I lived many years in Pennsylvania, and my microphone is a little off. I'm not getting complete audio, so I don't.
Are you sure it's microphone's off?
What?
Are you sure it's a microphone that's a little off?
I do believe so.
Okay. All right. So make sure it wasn't you. All right.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay. I wasn't going to fall into that one, you know.
I hear you. I tried. Anyway.
Yeah, you did. Oh, it's just a beautiful day here. It started out a little bit chilly, and it's hard to get used to. We had to turn the clocks back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was difficult. And, you know, it just seems so much later. And I know when we finish the program in an hour, it's will be dark out. So
yes.
Anyway, gold today was not dark. It had a bright day, up $6.20 at $1,825. Silver was up 30 cents at $24.54. Platinum was up 24. Great day for platinum. 1,066. Palladium was up 39 at 2,156. The USDX today was down 0.18 at 94.05. Crude oil was up a buck. Didn't stay below 80 for very long, did it? 82.27. And it's just disgusting. You know, the Dow was up 104 at 36,432. The S&P was up 4 at 4,701. The NASDAQ was up 10, 15,982. Most of your European markets were lower. Shanghai was higher. Rest was lower. 10-year yield, 1.497%. So, investors are just piling into infrastructure stocks. Did you know that?
Uh-huh. We'll discuss
how about that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, how about that? Just piling into infrastructure. And, the only thing they talk about are the roads and the bridges and everything else. Well, if it's the same type of program that Obama had, what is it, the road to recovery or something like that, where everybody was supposed to get new bridges, all they did was slap a fresh coat of paint on it, and you saw people standing around like they were really busy repairing and replacing the bridges, and that was not the case. At least from what I was told from people who worked on those bridges. Now, maybe some states are different, but I was in Pennsylvania then, and this was Central PA, that they said, nope, we're not doing anything, we're not repairing anything, just slapping on a new coat of paint and looking busy. So it took, 20 people to paint a bridge. So anyway, it's just, so we'll see. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. There was one report out, U.S. consumers' income and spending expectations reach an 8-year high. So short-term inflation, yep, that's what they expect you're going to have. And, I don't know. We'll see who's right and we'll see who's wrong, won't we, Butch?
We certainly will, but I don't see any indicators yet that say it's going to be short term. I don't see any indicators yet short term. I don't. But getting through this winter is going to be a shock to a lot of people. We're going to cover a little bit too. It's going to be a real shock. And I'm not trying to discourage anybody. I'm trying to prepare them. It's going to be a shock. You better have some backup way to heat your house. I don't know what you can do where you live, but, with the price of propane and natural gas going up through the roof, and it's going through, if it's doubled, it's going to hurt big time for those who just have a budget to stick to.
And you know, it was funny. There was an interview with the, I think it was on Bloomberg, and the energy secretary was being interviewed. And the first question was about energy. And she just started laughing. She started laughing at energy prices, thinking that it was, you know, just a dumb question, and that everybody is taking this all out of context. And just, she literally laughed. These people are insane. They're not, maybe they're not insane, but they're cruel. They're, I don't know what they are. But,
well, apparently they don't have a very big heart for the public. I mean, it's the same thing with Harris. Somebody asks her a serious question, she giggles. What? This is not to be giggled about. What's going on here? What's all this laughter about? She cackles like a witch. It's really spooky.
And there was also another discussion of possibly closing down another pipeline. It's possible that they're going to shut down another pipeline coming in from Canada.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, anyway.
It's insane.
So those are some of the things. And now they're going to have their little, they're going to feel a little proud of themselves because they got this bill passed. You know, isn't this the one that has Pelosi's $200 million park?
It talks about parks. I'm going to share that minute. Yes, talks about parks. Yes, it does.
Yeah, that's a big infrastructure bill, isn't it?
We really need that really bad.
Yeah, in her neighborhood, in her district, she gets $200 million. It's kind of like during COVID, giving money to the arts. And what was it, the one art building in D.C. or somewhere? I don't know. It's just... Oh, anyway.
You know, if you ever studied history and you read about the Roman Empire was a lot like America in a lot of ways. It really was. We formed a government after the Roman government. We did. But we're seeing the same things happen that happened to them before their final collapse. The same thing. Unrest, cultured wars, unbridled spending. We're seeing the same thing happen. Political favors. It's the same thing only a few hundred years later. It's the same thing.
Trying to rescue other countries from their problems, and
yep.
Can't be done.
No, it can't. And trying to interfere with all every other nations and trying to more or less conquer them for their natural resource, whatever, and then just stretch stuff too far. It couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But with the bill itself,
Butch.
I mean, yes, ma'am.
Butch.
Yes,
we're
ma'am.
We're different. We're different.
Oh, we are different. That's right. We're Americans.
Different.
We wouldn't do that.
We're different.
We're not that stupid. I mean, we wouldn't launch a ship named after a homosexual named Harvey Milk. We wouldn't do that. We're not that dumb.
No.
But anyway. And God loves us for that, too. You know, he just loves us because we're just doing all those things to honor this perversion. But we'll move on from that. It's just unbelievable. But, you know, this bill they just approved. Now, maybe I'm just totally ignorant on this, but I know that the House has to appropriate the spending bill. They're the one that's responsible for the spending bill. But wasn't it supposed to go through Senate before it was approved?
Yeah, this is the next step, but you know, so it's going to go. They'll pass it.
So it has to go to the Senate. But the news said the other day that it's went to Biden's desk for signing it. And I thought, wait a minute now, they skipped the Senate
supposed
on this.
To.
It's supposed to, yeah, it's supposed to go through the Senate.
Unless it came out of the Senate first. I don't know.
I don't think it did, but it may have. I don't know. But anyway... Did it late Friday night, folks. Surprise, surprise. Congress approved $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, sending major to Biden for enactment. So that's what I'm saying. They sent right to Biden. I don't know. House lawmakers late Friday adopted a roughly $1.2 trillion major to improve the country's roads, bridges, pipes, ports, and internet connections, overcoming their own interesting divides to secure a long-sought burst in federal investment and deliver President Biden's major legislative win. The bipartisan vote, 228-206, vote marked the final milestone for the first of two pieces in the president's sprawling economic agenda. The outcome sends to Biden's desk, an issue that promised to deliver its benefits to all 50 states, a manifestation of his 2020 campaign pledge to rejuvenate the economy in the aftermath of the coronavirus pandemic and the Build Back Better. So it goes right to his desk, apparently, Building. I didn't know it went through the Senate yet. The path to passage proved littered with political conflict, pushing to the limits a fractious party with still widening ideological fissures. Democrats initially hoped to approve the infrastructure bill on Friday, along with a separate, roughly $2 trillion proposal to overhaul the nation's health care, education, immigration, climate, and tax laws. Doing so would have advanced two spending initiatives that have been stalled on Capitol Hill for months. Instead, House Democrats started only to debate, but did not finalize the $2 trillion tax and spending package. Facing new delays, the bill remained bogged down in a border war between liberals, who are eager to spend now that they are in the majority, and moderates, who continue to question the fiscal impacts of the bill. In the end, with a bipartisan coalition of Democrats with the aid of 13 Republicans, now folks, know that 13 Republicans, that helped propel the infrastructure proposal to passage. When the gavel sounded after 11 p.m., cheers erupted from a mass of members who had crowded around House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. They shared high fives and fist bumps with each other to cap off a tumultuous night. Generations from now, they should say generations now, people are still paying for it, that's true, but anyway, generations from now, people will look back and know that this is when America won the economic competition for the 21st century, Biden said in a statement lauding its passage. The infrastructure proposal, nearly half of which constitutes new spending marks, one of the most significant investments in this country's infrastructure since Congress responded to the Great Recession. It seeds new funding in the hopes of delivering urgently needed fixes to the country's outdated inner workings while setting the U.S. on a track to tackle more intractable future challenges, including a fast-worsening climate crisis. The bill includes more than $110 billion to replace repair roads, bridges, and highways, $6 billion to boost rail, making it the most substantial such investment in the country's passenger and commercial network since the creation of Amtrak about half a century ago. Lawmakers provide a $55 billion to improve the nation's water supply and replace lead pipes, $60 billion to modernize the power grid, and billions in additional sums to expand speedy internet access nationwide. Many investments aim to promote green energy and combat some of the country's worst sources of pollution, and the folks mark that down as coal and other sources. At Biden's behest, for example, lawmakers approved $7.5 billion to build out a national network for our vehicle charging stations. Reflecting the deadly costs and consequences of global warming, the package also allocates roughly $50 billion to respond to emergencies including droughts, wildfires, and major storms. And in this package also, not mentioned here, they also give a tax break or some money to the major news media. The news media been on our side, so they have to reward their friends, folks. This is all part of another structural takedown of America in a bill that will not be paid for. It will not be paid for. They'll drag it out 10, 20 years. We'll never get paid off anyway, so why not spend more? We're never going to pay it off anyway. This will worsen everything from tax increases to inflation in this country. But who cares? We might get a new road. Who cares? Now, I'm not being facetious here. I'm being serious. Who really cares? I mean, who do you hear complain about it? I mean, 13 Republicans crossed the line and voted for it.
One of them was from West Virginia.
I know that. You makes you wonder. I thought they were the conservative ones.
Well, I'll tell you what. That tells me the desperate need they have, because they need this money into the economy or it all falls apart.
That's exactly
and this
right.
This was approved by the Senate. The $1.2 trillion had already been approved by the Senate, so it passed the Senate and it came down to them. So that's why it's going directly to his desk.
But and the $2 trillion has not been approved, right, by the Senate, right?
$1.2 trillion, though.
But the $2 trillion, they're still debating.
The second one, they're still debating. And that's the social program.
Yeah,
that's where they get nuts. This bill, I think, with all this infrastructure, was probably a payoff to a lot of these areas, like these, like the Republicans, you know, from Nebraska, Pennsylvania.
Sure.
They'll get their little deals for their states, you know. But then I'll guarantee you, they'll also approve the social $1 trillion that they want to get passed too. So. It is, you know, I can see America needing roads and bridges and things like that. But the problem I have with it, Butch, is the junk that's included with it.
That's it,
and,
yes.
And even he said it's going to be unions. This isn't going to trickle down to the common guy and, you know, who needs a job. Yeah, it's going to be, it's going to help the unions. And so it's not going to filter down to Main Street. You're going to have your big business, already your big corporations. I mean, even when Trump was talking about the infrastructure bills that he was trying to put, you know, help these big corporate construction and, you know, it's doesn't come down to the little guy.
Never does.
It never does. But it's the little guy who pays for it.
That's right.
Exactly. So you pay right. for it.
And our children and grandchildren and, do too.
Absolutely. They're going to be paying more than just money to this government.
Mm-hmm.
Their price tag is huge. Is huge. And so it's, you know, and they write this thing the night before they pass the same. It's the politics involved that's so frustrating and it makes you so angry. Read it.
They don't have time to read it.
There's
over 2,000 pages. How do you read that in one night?
I know it. But there isn't one of them who says, well, let's delay this a couple weeks and let us read it.
Nope, doesn't happen.
Nope, not a one, not a whisper for anybody.
Nope.
Republican, Democrat, Independent, you name it. That's what's aggravating. And then tomorrow we'll find out some of the little tidbits that, you know, they'll finally tell us what's in there and, you know, and all the waste. All the waste. And then we'll see who got paid off and who didn't. It truly is. But again, hey, let's pave some of those roads out there, right, Butch? For all those electric vehicles.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to put in stations for the charger cars. Folks, you don't realize
what
it's
going
to cost you. It's going to cost you a fortune.
Do you see gas stations that have these chargers? Do you ever see a car there?
No. No. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
But the people are going to be surprised what's going to cost them for the power infrastructure and what's going to cost them to charge cars. Folks, you're going to realize it's going to cost more for that and it's going to be for gasoline. And not only that, it's more controlled. Hey, you can make your own gasoline. People do it. I'm not making it up. You can make it. You can do that. But you can't make your own electricity.
No. And we're heading into the break. We're going to make that. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Can you hear me, Butch?
I can hear you just fine.
I don't know. There's something going on with my mic, so who knows. But anyway, you're listening to Financial Survival. This program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and sign up for a weekly newsletter. So, moving on from the infrastructure, what's next?
Yes. Deer strike sows worry in farm country. John Deere, of course. Farmers, dealers fear delayed deliveries, higher prices, and strike at tractor makers stretches beyond 3 weeks. It's a chain reaction. That is a chain reaction. Boy, food's going to take a hit. Food's going to take a hit. A week-long strike at Deere and Company as dealers bracing for delayed deliveries of new equipment and farmers fearing higher prices ahead. Supply of new tractors and combines across Farm Belt have been stretched for months as manufacturers struggle with shortages of raw materials, components, and semiconductor chips. Now farmers, dealers worry that shipments from Deere, the largest seller of farm equipment in North America, will be further undermined after more than 10,000 union workers walked off the jobs October 14th. Members of the United Auto Workers Union this past week rejected a second proposed contract, deepening uncertainty during the fall harvest season about when a regular production may resume. Farmer Dale Reimers, who grows corn, soybeans, and other crops across 25,000 acres in eastern North Dakota, say he ordered 3 new Deere tractors and 2 crop sprayers before the strike. Delivery for some equipment already has been delayed for months. It's unclear when the rest of the order will even be built. He said, adding that he worries the strike could further complicate things. He also went on to say that without the new sprayers, he cannot do the crops properly next spring, which means a poor crop yield. So we will see, folks. We're talking about a food chain here. All this seems to tie together to cripple the food chain. And that's just really sad to see that, but it is what it is. It's happening, and we're seeing this going further than just with vegetables. Everything's going up in the meat market unbelievably. I'm trying to find the article right now. Consumers trade ribeye for ground beef as grocery prices rise. Supermarkets say shoppers are seeking out lower cost options in the meat case in response to higher prices. A neighbor friend of mine, right above me. I went out to buy some steaks at Walmart a week or so ago. 3 steaks, just regular old steaks, were 40-some bucks. He said, we're not eating steak tonight. Remember a while back we discussed that steak one day will be a luxury? Remember that, Mel? We discussed it on the program.
We did, just a couple weeks ago.
Yep. Americans are cutting back on steak as rising grocery prices squeeze spending. Now, there's a bill proposed right now to tax every farmer's every head of cattle they have, $200 tax per year for raising that cow. I'm not making it up, folks. Check it out for yourself. Supermarkets say shoppers are buying more store brand meat products and trading down from beef to less expensive alternatives such as chicken or pork. After prices for products such as ribeye climbed about 40% from a year ago, according to research from IRI, some consumers are replacing boneless chicken breast with cheaper bone-in chicken, retailers said. Retailers said they are securing larger amounts of cheaper meat products as they anticipate more shoppers will seek bargains. And folks, of course, the more they buy the cheaper meat products, the higher they're going to go also. Everybody's trying to find something that fits within their wallet, said Carrie Otwell, director of meat and seafood at Mitchell Kosher Corporation. The Alabama-based chain has recently been selling more ground beef and fewer middle meat cuts, such as strip steak and ribeye steak, he said. Folks, this is really hitting in the wallet. And you can only go so low. When chicken and pork start getting higher, of course, people are going to start trying to figure out how they can afford to even buy that. And they want meat to be cut out. That's why they want to tax each cow $200 per head of cattle. That's why they're making artificial meat in restaurants like Burger King and Hardee's. These things, folks, are for real, and it's happening. That's why starting next year, Israel's going to ship us fake meat to U.S. Don't you feel very comfortable about that? And on top of that, winter heating bills loom as the next inflation threat. This is all adding up to a huge hit on everybody's pocketbooks. With consumers already dealing with the fastest price increase in decades, another unwelcome uptick is on the horizon, a widely expected increase in winter heating bills. After plunging during the pandemic as the global economy slowed, energy prices have roared upward. Natural gas used to heat almost half of U.S. households, that I didn't know, that's huge, has almost doubled in price since this time last year. The price of crude oil, which deeply affects the 10% of the households that rely on heating oil and propane during the winter, has soared by similarly eye-popping levels. So, 50% increase from last year. And people I know for sure had times from last year even buying it then. It's going to go up half again as much this year. And that's, I think, only the beginning. Now, folks, maybe a miracle will happen and it'll go back down. I don't see it happening. I really don't. Not if Biden cuts off another pipeline to the country. And you have to understand this is being done on purpose. They want this inflation. They want this economy crippled. There's too much evidence to prove that. I mean, there's nothing to prove that they don't. If they don't want to happen, they sure make some awful stupid moves, aren't they, Melody?
Well, they are. And, I mean, government needs inflation. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just a fact. So, and that's why they continue to lie to us about it. And, you know, people just don't get that because of our, it's easier to, you know, talk about demand and supply and it's transitory inflation and so forth. Inflation is really a monetary event. It is a fiat dollar. It takes more of those dollars to buy things, and but not too many people understand. So we will always have inflation with us until we fix our system, and the system will be fixed, maybe not by choice. It'll be fixed when it has to be fixed. And until then, they're just going to keep putting Band-Aids on everything. And as long as you keep paying for it and you're not saying, you know, enough's enough, or we're going to boycott this, we're going to boycott that, and we're not going to be paying those prices and so forth. But they kind of got us by the tail, Butch.
Yeah,
everything
do.
Is made in China.
They do. They do.
We just can't turn around and start making things here in the States. Can you even imagine what prices would be? Imagine what you'd be paying for things. We talk about the inflation that we have now. Imagine what you would be paying if those things were made here in the United States.
Well, by the time they had to redo their meals and all their working equipment to get it back up, we couldn't afford it.
No.
We couldn't afford it. The investment would be just too high. And on top of being fiat currency, when they are making man-made shortages, that makes it even worse because a shortage will cause the price to go up too. So on top of fiat currency and man-made shortages, we're going to be eaten alive. And it's happening.
It's a double whammy. Yeah, it's a double whammy.
And I know.
But hey, as long as people have credit cards, as long as people can still survive, they'll accept what's given them.
It's just phenomenal. It really is. And another, we all know. Have you driven by a car lot lately and saw that the new cars count's way down? And actually, the used car count's going down also because people trade used cars in for new cars.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't afford doing that. Well, used car market gets even more bizarre. Anyone who shopped for a car this year knows that new ones are hard to get and used ones have gotten way more expensive. And we know why. There's a global shortage of all the computer chips modern-day cars require. But October's used car price growth still managed to shock even the experts. The latest, the industry's key index of used cars prices jumped another 9.2% over the span of this of just 1 month. Now, almost over 9%, almost going on 10%. That puts the index 38% higher than a year ago. Wow. That is huge. And I don't know if you, I mean, go drive by and take a look at the price of a used car. A used pickup truck, for example, 2015 pickup, that's saying almost 7 years old. They're going up $38,000 to $50,000 for used pickup trucks. This is ridiculous. A 38% increase in the index in a year? Melly, that's on a $10,000 car, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
It certainly is.
So, I don't know, folks. I make your cars last, all I can tell you, unless you're really, really wealthy. Make them last as long as you can. I intend to. Mine are nowhere near new. My newest one's 7 years old. So they're not new and they run fine. I'm going to try to make my best to make them last because I, for one, cannot afford an $80,000 automobile. That's ridiculous. But this is another step in the direction of bringing the economy down. And we know, Melody, with all the jobs, the worker scarcity, supposedly, with all the worker scarcity, and I don't know what happened to all the workers. I mean, did we depopulate that many people, or what happened? I mean, people just don't need to work anymore? I don't know. But anyway.
Well, you know what? Hey, you do have, you know, we've talked about this before, and you have, you know, the biggest cities, L.A., Chicago, they're launching the country's largest guaranteed basic income program. So, you know what? People don't need to work anymore, along with the federal government.
My goodness, we got it made, don't we?
We do.
Got it made. But this is going to turn around and bite them in the butt. Here's why. Rise of the robots speeds up in pandemic with U.S. labor scarcity. Rise of the robots. Let that sink in, folks. Speeds up in pandemic with U.S. labor scarce. American workers are hoping that the tight pandemic labor market will translate into better pay. It might just mean robots take their jobs instead. Folks, companies are in it to make a profit. They have to make a profit. Yes, I know there's greed involved. I'm not talking about somebody just trying to rip everybody off. But if they don't make a profit, why be in business? I never went to work a day in my life just go out and spend my time. I had some mouths to feed and payments to make, and so it's things to provide for. So companies have to make profits also. Labor shortages and rising wages are pushing U.S. businesses to invest in automation. A recent Federal Reserve survey of chief financial officers found that at firms with difficulty hiring, one-third are implementing or exploring automation to replace workers. In earnings calls over the past month, executives from a range of businesses confirmed the trend. They're going to replace you on your job. Get too greedy, get too lazy, folks? No problem. They'll put a robot in. A little bit of oil and grease, and he runs forever. Domino's Pizza Incorporated is putting in place equipment and technology that reduce the amount of labor required to produce our dough balls, said Chief Executive Officer Rich Allison. Mark Jeffrey, a group vice president of Homerel Foods Corporation, said the maker of Spam, Spread, and Skippy Peanut Butter is ramping up our investment in automation because of the tight labor supply. The mechanizing of mundane tasks has been underway for generations. It's made remarkable progress in the past decade. The number of industrial robots installed in the world's factories more than doubled in that time. Let's repeat that. The number of industrial robots in the last decade, folks, have more than doubled to about 3 million. Automation has been spreading into service businesses, too. So you better know this, whether you like it or not. If they can't find people to work, they will find some ways to get around it. They have to. They have no choice. They have to survive also. So, Melody,
well, I don't think the robots is just an instance because there's a shortage of workers. They're just using an excuse. I mean, the robots technology replacing people, that has been coming for a long time. And I mean, So I don't, you know, and who knows, you know, maybe, you know, it's a serious situation. I mean,
well, I know a person who's a cook at a restaurant not too far from where I live, increases paid $18 an hour, and anything over, I don't remember, it's 40 or 60 hours. He gets double pay, not time and a half, double pay. And he worked like 60 or 80 hours last week. I can't remember the exact numbers. But tremendous paycheck. $18 an hour to start off with as a cook is not bad. But over certain hours, and he has to work over because there's nobody else to work there. He gets double pay. That's $36 an hour. That's pretty good money, Melody.
That is pretty good.
So, whatever the reason is, whatever they do it for, businesses are going to make a profit, aren't they? Or go out.
Mm-hmm.
So we have time to take another one here concerning the same issue. Help really wanted, no degree, work experience, or background checks. And he always got me. When I apply for a job, they actually had any experience. And I'd have some, no, well, you know, but how'd I get experience if I don't get a job? So, but that's going away. Employers are easing job requirements and speeding up hiring procedures to survive a U.S. labor market with more openings than applicants. U.S. companies are downsizing the hiring process. Beauty product retailer The Body Shop is dropping education requirements and background checks for job applicants. UPS, now this is something. UPS, man, if you got a job there years ago, you were very blessed because they were hard to come by. UPS Incorporated is making some job offers in as little as 10 minutes. CVS Health Incorporated no longer requires college graduates to submit their grades. In a labor market, the job openings outnumber applicants. Companies are brainstorming how to get more candidates in the door and then to the floor. The hiring overhaul signals a potentially broad rethink of job qualifications, a chance that could help millions of people enter jobs previously out of reach, according to economists and workforce experts. Employers added 531,000 jobs in October. An unemployment rate fell to 4.6% from 4.8%, the Labor Department reported Friday, indicating that companies are filling openings at a faster clip than in recent months. So, you don't have to have all the requirements you did before. They're not going to check your grades. You can just go and get a job. And I know for a fact that from people that are going to work here, some of them I don't think, I wouldn't trust them to sweep the floor, but I see them working in places. I hope they do well. But nonetheless, this is where we are. This is how desperate the people are to find workers. So There you go, Melody.
Well, we're just heading into a break here in just a few short minutes. I was just, it's such a crazy world out there, you know, with everything that we're facing. And I was just reading how now they opened up our borders. First flights arrived from the UK, Europe, and India. It's kind of interesting. Hey, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Just one more time.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. What's next?
Well, I was just thinking during the break, I enjoyed doing programming with you, Melody, because I think we cover a lot of news, a lot of important information, and I appreciate being able to do this with you, because being a pastor, I get to talk about a lot of things, and I do, and even in Bible studies, I do cover current events and what's going on with the food supplies, because that's part of the Bible. We're told in Scripture that He'll cut off our food supplies once we start turn back on Him. So it's all scriptural. But I like to cover the news headline because it showed me what's going on today that does fit into the Bible. So I enjoyed doing the program with you. I want to let you know that.
Oh, well, I thank you.
You're welcome.
And we like doing the program with you, too.
Well, good. Hey, how about that, folks? We get along once in a while.
How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Aren't we all so happy? But you know what?
It's a nice day, but anyway. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just briefly, though, you know, again, we often talk about, you know, the financial conditions, how they're going to, they're not the best. And now there's more warnings coming out about a bubble. The warnings, they're ringing even louder from the central banks. Bombshells fuel the easiest financial conditions in nearly four decades. And this comes from BlackRock. And they're a big insider. Allianz, Mohammed El Arian. Those are just a couple who are warning that systemic risks are only going to multiply unless monetary officials take more decisive measures to pair extraordinary pandemic stimulus. Well, that ain't happening. We just put $1.2 trillion back into the, you know. While policymakers are acutely aware of the dangers in the easy money era, these accommodative stances are encouraging ever-increasing flows to the riskier markets. You had the crypto industry just hit $3 trillion in value. The biggest junk bond exchange-traded fund is booming after getting the most cash since March, and major stock indexes are sitting near records. No wonder a cross-asset gauge shows the easy U.S. investing climate is one for the history books, and that should scare the heck out of you. The risk binge is intensifying. Worries over market froth lack central bank watchdogs. The world's biggest, the Federal Reserve, signaled last week a delay in interest rate increases until the labor market is in better shape, which we talk about is not going to be, after it announced a widely expected reduction in asset prices, barely. The risk is you're creating overheating prices. The risk to the system is you get too much liquidity in the system, creating excess. Bank of England shocked markets with a decision not to raise rates. Meanwhile, the European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde pushed back against wagers on a rate hike in 2022. So again, the risk, you just can't overindulge in the stimulus like they have and expect to walk away with no hurt, no pain. Everybody knows it. You know, yeah, $3 trillion, the cryptos, yeah, you better ride it while it's high. You better get out while it's high. How long are they going to push this up? And you know what, Butch, the greater, the higher the markets, the bigger the prices, the more risk people take. I can remember someone telling me, he was a stockbroker, or I was reading it, and he was talking about how he was feeling. Remember the dot-com bubble?
Oh, yeah.
That was nothing compared to what we're going to face now. He says, but you get into this position and you feel a little cocky. You feel like you can make no mistakes because everything you write and everything you do is supported by, you know, by this bubble.
And you don't think you can do any wrong. You're just going to sit and ride it. And you know you got the government behind your back. They'll never let the stock market fall. He could do no wrong. And guess what he lost? Everything. Because he didn't think he could do any wrong. He got so cocky with himself, thinking that he was the smartest man alive. And it's all human emotions. It's human nature. You know, if you keep making bets on something and you keep winning, hey, I think it'll go on forever. And then the big surprise comes. And then you think, well, you'll get a little bit of a shock, but, oh, it'll come back. It'll come back. They're telling me to stay in there. Hang in there. It'll come back. It came back in 2008 when the stock market went to 6,000. It'll come back again. It'll come back. Is that what you want to bet on? Your savings you shouldn't bet on.
No.
No. You shouldn't be betting on your savings. If you want to bet on something, you take a few bucks and you go to Las Vegas or your local casino. Take your 20, 50 bucks and go have fun. But you shouldn't be betting your savings.
Very true.
That's what all done. But so at least get it protected. Get it insured with gold. And there is no 100% guarantee in anything. But view the risk. And that's what no one does. And it's hard.
It is hard. But you have to understand, I know they do, people that are listening to this, precious metals will never go to nothing.
No.
Never go. Paper will go to nothing. Precious metals. And look this way, too. If paper goes nothing and gold and silver drops three-fourths, you'd still be the wealthiest man on the block.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So there you go.
And prices will be dropping too. So I don't know. You want to take something that has the least amount of risk when you're looking at the fundamentals. And sure, you might get out early. You might get out of the paper market early, and say, "Oh wow, stock market's gone up 10,000 points since I pulled my money out." That's okay. It's okay. Because that's hindsight. You didn't know when you made that decision that, you know, all the powers to be with all the central banks, the Bank of England, our Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, and all the other ones, that they had the power to do what they're doing. So, anyway, what's next, Butch?
Well, this is, I find interesting. Well, we know what's happening. China's trade surplus hits record. This U.S. trade deficit rises to all-time high. Now, look at that. China's surplus hits a record. Our deficit also hit a record. Wow. Amid widespread power shortages, a sudden surge in new COVID cases and lockdowns, and an accelerating collapse in China's property sector, overnight Beijing reported yet another record monthly trade surplus in October as exports surged despite global supply chain disruptions. China's export growth moderated slightly to 27.1% year-to-year in October, above the 22.8% consensus expectation, implying a sequential gain of 2.6% in October, despite electricity constraints in October also. At the same time, imports rose 20.6% year-to-year in October, missing expectations of a 26.2% surge, but fell anyway. Goes on to say that we're running out a record high of 84.5 billion in October. China is increasing in exports, even though they're shutting down infrastructure, folks. Electricity supply has been cut off. Factories haven't shut down for different reasons. Yet they're still shipping to us, and we are going down the tubes in a financial way. We're importing and they're shipping to us. We're losing ground. That's just what boils down to. While China's trade growth has remained well above pre-pandemic levels all year, its exports through October have already surpassed all of 2020, as the world just can't get enough of goods made in China. Melanie, what's that tell you? People don't care. They're still spending, like you said, on credit cards maybe. But China hit an all-time high, even though the pandemic's been going all this year, and they've shut down factories. They're still doing it. That's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Gee. I don't know, people. I don't guess. I mean, Americans are now our consumers. There's no point in saying anything different. We're consumers. That's what we do. We produce very little any longer. We have companies like Toyota and other companies that invest and build factories in America. But we're producing cars for Toyota, not for GM and Ford. If you follow what I'm saying on that. Walmart is using fully driverless trucks to ramp up its online grocery business. And we talked about this a couple few months ago. It says it's going to happen. What's happened? Walmart said Monday it has started using fully driverless trucking in its online grocery business, aiming to increase capacity and reduce inefficiencies. Now, let this sink in again. Driverless trucks going down the highway. What could go wrong with that? Walmart Silicon Valley startup Getik said that since August, they operated two autonomous box trucks without a safety driver on a seven-mile loop daily for 12 hours. The Getik trucks are loaded with online groceries from a Walmart fulfillment center called a dark store. The orders are then taken to a nearby Walmart neighborhood market grocery store in Bentonville, Arkansas, where Walmart is headquartered. The program began in December 2020 after getting approval from the Arkansas State Highway Commission. The safety driver was pulled over the summer. The partnership is focused on the so-called middle mile, the transport of goods within a supply chain, most often from a warehouse to a former fulfillment center or a warehouse to retailer. Sometime this past summer, folks, we discussed this with the safety driver. They were experimenting with this. Now the driver's gone and they're making another seven-mile loop, which doesn't sound like a lot, and they're really in the long distance. But a driverless truck. But that just, for some reason, sounds spooky to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but this doesn't sound natural to me. I know drivers have accidents also. But the driverless truck. Any comments on that?
Well, they need something to replace those 80,000 short truckers.
I guess.
It won't be long before there's 100,000 because you're going to have these... driverless trucks. So again, lack of jobs.
Going down the highway and there goes a truck up beside you without a driver in it.
I always wanted to be alive long enough to fly a vehicle.
Well, they make those already.
I know.
They made them since the 50s, actually.
But I don't have one.
Well, go get you one, for goodness sake. But I mean, I just have it. I have this eerie feeling when I see a truck down the highway, no driver in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not make airplane do the same thing? You know, we don't need the pilot.
They can land planes without pilots.
They can.
You put it on autopilot, yeah.
But they still have a backup with a real man or a woman in the seat. But anyway.
For now, yep.
For now. CIA director dispatched to Moscow to warn Russia. Now listen to this. We're going to send a CIA director to Moscow to warn Russia. I'll bet they're shaking their boots over troop buildup near Ukraine. President Joe Biden dispatched CIA Director Bill Burns to Moscow earlier this week to warn the Kremlin that the U.S. is watching this buildup of troops near Ukraine's border closely and to attempt to undermine what is motivating Russia's action. To determine what's motivating her actions. The rare trip by Burns to Russia, where he held talks with the senior Kremlin security officials directly involved in the military activity, came as U.S. has grown increasingly concerned by Russia's irregular movement of troops and equipment near Ukraine northern border, according to multiple U.S. and Ukrainian sources briefed on the meeting. The Biden administration has ramped up its efforts in recent days to de-escalate growing tensions between Moscow and Kyiv. Following his meetings in Russia, Burns spoke to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky by phone in an attempt to defuse those tensions, the sources told CNN. A senior State Department official was also dispatched to Kyiv on Thursday to support those efforts. Satellite photos raised concerns of Russian military buildup near Ukraine. The flurry of high-level diplomacy underscores how seriously the Biden administration is taking the latest Russian troop movements, even after an earlier buildup in the spring ultimately did not lead to a renewed invasion. Tensions between Ukraine and Russia have also been exacerbated in recent weeks by the deepening Ukrainian energy crisis that Kyiv believes Moscow has purposely provoked. It isn't funny, but I just don't see Moscow being too concerned about what we think what they're doing in Ukraine. I don't think they're a bit concerned about that. I don't. After our record, why should they be? And China triggers growing fears for U.S. military. China's military buildup and its push to develop nuclear-capable missiles is unnerving Congress and U.S. defense officials alike. America's defense establishment has watched threats from Beijing rapidly grow in multiple areas, including recent hypersonic missiles tests, an expanding nuclear arsenal, strides in space and cyber, and seemingly daily threats to Taiwan. We're witnessing one of the largest shifts in global geostrategic power the world has witnessed, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Mark Milley said Wednesday when speaking about China's recent military advances. They're clearly challenging us regionally, and their aspiration is to challenge the United States globally. A potential shift in global balance of power is worrisome to U.S. officials and lawmakers. For decades, America has held the stance of the world's foremost economic and military power. A shift to China, while not a direct threat, could upend alliances in the Indo-Pacific region at a time when U.S. and Chinese militaries increasingly butt heads in the South China Sea. Wow. I think we're headed for something very interesting in the very near future. And there we are.
And that is the... we are... the end of the program. We'll be right back, or I should say we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.